We got our inspiration for politics and public service from my mother and my father, who's passed. So I want her standing to my right and to my wonderful wife here to my left. First of all, listen, I'm not sad tonight. I'm really not. I'm as fired up as I was the day I started this, because this fight isn't over tonight. This fight isn't over. It's just beginning. Because we are going to take our country back. I think we took it back in part tonight. We've lit a fire out on the prairie here in the Midwest and in our state. You know what? 583 towns, 18 months, 275 town hall meetings, 50,000 miles on the minivan. We took it back. This was supposed to be a walk in the park for the Republican Party. We turned it into a race. And we turned it into a race because, you know what, at the end of the day, whether they know it or not, we've got the issues on our side. It's about better pay for teachers. It's about taking care of our kids when it comes to funding programs like Head Start and child nutrition. It's about making sure that students aren't disincentivized by going to college because of debt, that we can lower student loans in this country if we can get more votes in the United States Senate. We can do this. This is just the beginning. You know, I called Mike tonight and left a message. He wasn't picking up to congratulate him. I did. It's the right thing to do. And I had a good talk with Gordon Howey tonight. As a matter of fact, we prayed on the phone. Okay? And he wished me well. And I wish Gordon well. Senator Pressler and I have been exchanging calls tonight, so I'm hoping eventually we'll get a chance to talk. But I have to tell you what, I want to share with you what has inspired me, besides what you see standing up here. You know, I was at the Merrick Inn this morning checking out for the third or fourth time, and Christine was at the front desk. Well, we had a conversation a few months ago. She is a single mom with three children, working two jobs, killing herself. She's completely stressed out. And every time we had a chance to talk, I saw the hope in her eyes for a better life, and I saw the despair in her face, wondering what's to come. And, you know, that's what Take It Back is all about. It's for the Christines. I met a young woman. She had just graduated from college with a journalism degree. Her name was Beth. She lived then at the time in Vyberg, and she was working for the Vyberg Enterprise. And I know she's since moved over to Beersford working for a paper over there. But we got to talking about her student loans. She's got like $27,000 in student loans. Doesn't really have a decent car to get around to do her job. And you know what? We could lower loans. We could lower the interest rates on loans in this country if we had enough votes in the United States Senate to do it. And so I look at Beth and I say, that's what this campaign was all about, taking it back for Beth, and we're going to do it at some point. I was recently in Volland at the Volland Cafe having a breakfast meeting just a couple of weeks ago, and a gentleman by the name of Louie came over, and he wanted to talk about Obamacare. And you know what? You're going to love this story. He says to me, he goes, you know what? Prior to that Obamacare, and he paused. I was waiting for the worst to come from him. He said, I was paying $1,750 a month for my insurance because I had a pre-existing condition. And I was working myself to death just to make that payment because I knew if something happened to me, I did not want to leave my family out in the cold. So I had no choice. And then that Obamacare was passed, and my insurance premium dropped to $220 a month. Yeah. people can get health insurance in this country and not be dinged because they got a pre-existing condition, and we need to give our president credit for that. You know what he did then? We're having breakfast. He rips open his shirt, and he says, "Here's my Obamacare scar." He had triple bypass shortly after he got insurance, and it's made the world a difference to him. His family is secure, and he's still walking around and doing well. That was Louis from Valen. So I said this the other night. I had an opportunity to tour Lifescape recently. Lifescape is the merger of two nonprofits. One's called the Children's Care, and another group called Achieve, and they came together bringing adults and children together. And I was met at the front door by Trevor. And I got to tell you, you guys watch it down there because you're going to make me cry. You know, Trevor spends his day in a wheelchair, and he talks via computer. And 60% of the funding that goes to take care of our kids and these adults comes from Medicaid. The Paul Ryan budget plan, Paul Ryan being the vice presidential candidate that Mitt Romney, who was in the state just last week, would cut $1.5 trillion out of Medicaid. That is going to kick some kids to the street. People like Trevor, we can do better than that. That's not right. That's what this fight's all about. That's why it doesn't end tonight. It doesn't end tonight. It can end tonight. We need to go on. All right. Tessa. I met Tessa. Tessie in Martin, South Dakota, just last week. She is a 20-year-old determined Lakota woman. And she told me and her friends that showed up that night, she said, you know, we're tired of the despair. We're tired of the alcohol. We're tired of the drugs, the abuse. We formed our own nonprofit called Seventh Generation. And she says to me, and we're taking Indian Country Pack for our people. I said to Tessie, I'm going to work with you whether I get to the United States Senate or not. And I commend you for being determined. You should have seen the look in her eyes. She was on fire. And I have to tell you, I stand with my Lakota brothers and sisters. They are so spot on Keystone, I'm telling you. People in this country, in this state, haven't quite figured it out yet. This project is not about jobs. It's not about energy security. It's not about moving grain. It's all about greed. That's all it is. We get nothing except threats to Mother Nature and to our sacred water. So I stand with the Lakota people tonight in blocking this project. Now, this is a bit of a throwback, but I got to say it. There's a couple of other folks I want to thank tonight. FDR. Yeah. JFK. Yeah. LBJ. Yeah. For Social Security and Medicare, which has brought health security and financial security to hundreds of millions of our fellow citizens. And I commend them and the Democrats who have fought those fights, who will continue to fight those fights moving forward. We not only need to protect, we need to expand, and we can do that. And I want to say this to all of you tonight for being here and all the folks that couldn't make it open tonight, all the volunteers, you know, all the calls that have been made. The envelopes that have been stuffed, the yard signs that have been placed, hundreds of volunteers that were committed to this effort. I can't thank you enough. You've given me strength in these waning days of this campaign. And you know what? You know, you made a difference tonight, too. So all of you in this room and everybody out there watching, that were so committed to this campaign. I have to also acknowledge my staff. Believe me. This is the smallest, most dedicated, hardworking Senate campaign staff in the history of Senate politics. And we gave them a run for their money. I also want to acknowledge the South Dakota Democratic Party. Absolutely. We put a minimum wage ballot on this ballot, minimum wage measure that 62,000 people might have a shot at a little bit better life, another buck and a quarter an hour. So to Deb Connect and Zach Crago and Ryan Rolfe and Zach Nessler, the Central Committee, thank you. And to organized labor, who anteed up, who made it happen, my brothers and sisters out there that were part of that effort, because we are with the people. And one final thought. I have to thank my family who have been with me. My wife, Stacy, of 33 years. All of my great kids who were in from the very beginning on this campaign. They gave and gave dearly. My granddaughter, I don't know if she made it up on the stage tonight. There she is. Who brightened my days after an 18-hour town-to-town tour. You know, it's just incredible to have that kind of personal support at your back. It made all the difference in the world. So this leg of our journey isn't over. It really isn't. The fight has just begun to take our government back from the big money that controls it. We need to get it back on our side. It is the challenge of our generation, I believe. People want a government of, for, and by the people again. I felt it. I seen it in their eyes. They're hungry for some just straight up, you know, go out and fight for us. That's what they want. And I really do believe in my heart in the promise of this great country. It's the promise of an equal opportunity for everyone. That is an ideal that I believe is something that will never die in this country, because it is what makes us great as a country. So we're going to continue to fight this fight. Thank you. Don't be discouraged. Believe me. Be uplifted by what we have started tonight, what we started 18 months ago. All right? One of my family heroes, besides my mother, who gave us our passion for politics and public service, was the Kennedy family. And, you know, there was a convention speech given in 1980. I happened to be on the floor of the convention. And it was Senator Kennedy, when he made the comment, and I think it was one of the best political speeches of our time. He said, "The cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die." Thank you, and have a good night.